So out in front of our house, we have a white oak tree. We got a huge one in the backyard, probably the biggest one I've ever seen. It takes about three of my arm span to get around it. And these acorns, I pass by them on the sidewalk every day. And I look at them, and I think the same thing every time I pick one up. And about once a week, I'll pick one up and put it in my pocket. Now, what do you think that I think when I look at an acorn? I think of many, many other oak trees. When God looks at you, I believe that's what He's seeing. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and He's shining it through us. So the cap came off this one, but I think about that, and I think about even in His creation, He is reminding us of His plan in the earth. How many of you have bought the book so far? We have a few that if you can't get one any other way, that you see me afterwards, then I might can do the hookup for you. Okay? Now, as we're reading through this, God is just blessing us. And the reason why God is blessing this book is that every page is just crammed with Scripture. It's just a guide through Scripture. That's all Eldridge is doing. And the Holy Spirit has put this together. And truly, He is waking the dead through His book. John, if you'll go and put our outline up for today. So, today we're going to look at the glory hidden in your heart. And I've got some questions to ask you about this, your relationship with the Lord, and this glory. And I call them a very creative thing. I call them thought questions, as opposed to that deer in the headlights look that I used to get when I was in school, and the teacher would ask us something and my mind is somewhere else. Playing baseball, it wasn't in that room. I'm asking you to, let's rein in here right now. If you're looking at your phone right now, put that down and let's listen to these questions. Here they are. Number one, does the Bible really teach that we are nothing but sinners? Is that all that the Bible teaches? Okay, I want you to think about that question. All right, number two. Is it possible that we, and I'm using the we meaning us we, right here, we as believers in Jesus, have lost our true identity somewhere along the way? Is that possible? Do you ever ask yourself the question, do I really know who I am or who I'm supposed to be? Maybe that's a better way of putting it. Who am I supposed to be in this culture of 2019? Can you wrap your mind around that? All right? Third question. Do we truly have a new heart? And we spent a lot of time, in the last several weeks talking about getting rid of that stony heart and getting a new heart. All right. Do we have a new heart? Do you have a new heart? Fourth question. Do we bear the image of God? Do we bear His image? Are we the image bearers of the Christ, God Himself in the earth today? Man, those are heavy duty questions. There's a sermon in every one of those. Let's pray. Now, Lord, as we meditate upon these questions, and here in just a moment, open Your Word, see what You have to say to us today. We're asking You to speak. May we hear Your voice clearly. Lord, I'm not asking You to bless what I'm saying. I'm asking You, Lord, to lead me by Your Spirit to say what You're blessing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All righty. If you have your Bible, you turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Yeah, and I tricked you today. I didn't put all these scriptures up there for you, so you might have to actually use your Bible today. So, as we, you're in Genesis 3? Now, we're going to look at a video right now that's going to set the stage for these scriptures and the next several things that we're going to say. Somebody will get the lights back there.
Would who she was, who she really was, be enough? There was no magic to help her this time. This is perhaps the greatest risk that any of us will take, to be seen as we truly are.
Have courage and be kind.
Who are you?
I am Cinderella, Your Majesty. I am no princess. I have no carriage, no parents, no dowry. I do not even know if that beautiful slipper will fit, but if it does, will you take me as I am? An honest country girl who loves you.
Of course I will. But only if you will take me as I am. An apprentice still learning his trade. Please. Shall we?
Forgiven or not, Cinderella's stepmother and her daughters would soon leave with the Grand Duke and never set foot in the kingdom again.
Cinderella. Not Cinderella. That was her name. Why did I show you that today? The clip's all about identity. We often learn from myth and story more about our lives because it sneaks up on us. In a story, we can see it, and our hearts go out. Didn't it touch your heart? You truly would have to have a heart of stone to not feel that. All the imagery that's in that story, her embracing who she is, her true identity, And it transfers to the prince, you know, the having to, he's having to take a step of faith with the slipper. You know, evil tries to come back in, it can't stop right there at the door. All that manipulation is there. And then the final example of love. What did she say? I forgive you. Man, a powerful story. A powerful story. How did our story as humans, as people, unfold? Let's do the panorama through the Scripture right now in just a couple of minutes. Our story does not begin in Genesis 3. Now, what does it say in Genesis 3? Hear the word of God from Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. God knows that in the day you eat from it, the eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. The woman saw that the tree was good for food. It was a delight to the eyes. The tree was desirable to make one wise. She took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. That truly did happen. There, the conflict of God and not God, and the fall took place. There, the separation of man and God began. Sin entered in. It was a perfect world before. But let me ask you, is that where the story started? No. You're in Genesis 3. The story started before that. Turn back two chapters. Our story begins in Genesis 1. Here again, the Word of God beginning in verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our own image and according to our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him both, what? Male and female. That's who God created. And God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over everything that moves on the earth. Then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be for food for you, and every beast of the earth, to every bird of the sky, to everything that moves on the earth, that which has life, I've given every green plant for food. And it was so. See, when God gives it, it is so. But get this, verse 31. And God saw all that He had made. And on each day previous, He said, at the end of the day, it is good. But He says something different on this day. When He looked at all that He had made, behold, it was very good. There was evening, there was morning, the sixth day. You see, our story doesn't begin in Genesis 3. Our story begins in Genesis 1. God's ideal. God creating us in His own image. God's plan that we would carry His image in the earth. That we would be a reflector, if you will, of God Himself. That we would have relationship with God. Remember what it was like there in the garden? They had those walks each day with God. There was perfection. They were covered by him. After the fall, remember what happens? They try to cover themselves. Why? Because what is entered into the earth? Sin is entered into, and with sin comes shame. Shame. And you look around us, and that shame pervades the earth today. People living that out. We talked about this morning in our class this morning, how people are trying to make that seem okay, and it never is okay, because deep within us there's that desire. We know that there's something better for us, but because that's how God created us. He struck us in His own image. We've lost our identity. But then there's number three. Chapter 3. The story then continues. We go back to chapter 3. Yes, the fall happens. And yes, there is God meeting out that the judgment that comes from that. And what happened to Adam and Eve? Where did they have to go? They were cast out of the garden. Why did God put them out of the garden? Do you know? Do you know? Here's revelation for you. He put them out of the garden to protect them, so that they would not perpetually be in that state of death, because He had another plan for them. Item number 4. Race on to Genesis 15, verse 6. It says there, "And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness." Why would that be such a big deal? Well, we have to go back to Genesis 3 again to see what that's about. Because as God in Genesis 3 is meeting out the judgment, and the judgment upon Satan, the judgment upon Adam and Eve, but there's a glimmer of hope there in verse 15 of chapter 3. He's speaking to the serpent. He's speaking to Satan when he says, "I will put enmity." There will be a battle. Let me ask you, have you gotten that so far as we've been talking about waking the dead, that we're in the middle of battle royale in life? Have you gotten that part? Is that plain to you? That there's a battle going on that's raging? Don't be an idiot and say it's not. Don't be dumb on steroids and say there's no battle when it's obvious. You're in a battle for your life. It's raging all around. "I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed," speaking to Satan, "and her seed." Wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. Time out. Her seed. A woman's seed. Whoa. A woman's seed. What is that? Because you've got to have a man say, oh, except for one time in history, the seed of the woman, who would that be? Luther said it. Martin Luther in A Mighty Fortress. He's A Mighty Fortress is his interpretation of Psalm 46. And he says, that great line, and he says, "Christ Jesus, it is He." That is the seed. That's the seed of the woman, one born of a virgin. And He, this seed, will bruise you on the head. You've heard me say it many times. How do you kill a snake? I'm in my backyard trying to kill that chicken snake that's just eaten 5 of my bluebirds. And I'm shooting his body. I've got my little Cap gun 22 pistol, and bam, 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 I'm getting him, and he's still moving, about to get away. But I brought something else with me, a 20 gauge. And guess what? I quit messing around with a body. Bam! Guess what happened? Dead as a hammer. That's it. He's going to bruise you on the head. When Jesus died on the cross, what did He do? He bruised Satan on the head. It's yet to be carried, all of it be carried out, but at last, that is going to be carried out. and you shall bruise him on the heel. That's not a death blow. That's the seed of the woman is going to be bruised on the heel. When he goes to the cross, yes, he is bruised on the heel. But what happens 3 days later? He rose victorious from the grave. All right. So then we get into chapter 15, and here's Abraham, and he believes God, and it was counted unto him righteousness. All these people that say the New Testament, you get to God by grace, and the Old Testament's by works, that is a lie, that is heresy. There's only ever been one way to God, and it is by faith. By His grace, through faith, we come to Him. And that's what happened with Abraham. Abraham believed God. He trusted in God. And God counted that to him, to his account, for righteousness. He didn't have to do those good works. He received righteousness from God as a gift. That is salvation. The story continues. Number 5. Our story is then fulfilled in John chapter 1. Go to John 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same as in the beginning with God. Verse 14. And the Word did what? Became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. What kind of glory? The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That glory, that image, if you will. And He's not a reflector of the glory in this case. He is the glory. Because we see Him, the Lamb of God. John would walk up and say, the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sin of the world. So in that we see the gospel message. Let's read the whole thing here so you can get it in context. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that came into being. In Him was life, and this life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not. And literally, I know it says comprehended, but literally, the word there means, and the darkness did not take it down. Because when you turn on a light, what has to always happen to darkness? It must flee. Because light always overpowers the darkness. There came a man who sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light of God, so that all might believe through Him. He was not the light. He came to testify about the light. There was a true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. See, God's desire is for all of us. He's given us a preview of John 3:16. Right here. That this light is for all men. Verse 10. And He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. And the world, what does it say? Did not know Him. The world knew Him not. He came to His own people, the Jews. And those were His own, did not receive Him. But get this, verse 12. But as many as did receive Him, to those He gave the power, the right, the honor, the privilege to become what? The sons of God, the daughters of God, the family of God. See, our story is fulfilled as He's living out His story. The story of redemption. Yes, man fell. He was separated from God. But God had a plan even way back before the foundation of the world. He was planning to redeem man. And He did when He sent His unique one and only Son. That we would no longer dwell in death, but be raised from the dead and have life through His name. All right. Number 6. But you know what? Jesus came. Man, we had Pentecost. I mean, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. He ascends back to heaven. He says, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you another comforter. And Acts 2, we read it. Pentecost comes, and that other comforter comes. The Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Jesus himself, comes, the one who comes to indwell us, to baptize us, to fill us with the very presence of God, so that we're changed people. But is Satan willing to lay over for that? Romans 7, here we hear Paul. This is his personal experience as he was challenged by the world system, by his own flesh, and by Satan himself. He says, in chapter 7 of Romans, he said, in verse 17, so no longer am I the one who's doing it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but doing the good is not. I want to do it, but I can't. He says that. For the good that I want, I do not know. I practice the very evil that I want to do. And then he goes on to say, down verse 24, O wretched man, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Have you felt that way before? You felt, God, as a Christian, I'm talking about as a Christian. This is Paul as a Christian talking. I feel like I've blown it. I've screwed up too many times. I've screwed up more times than your grace can cover. Have you felt that before? You know what that is? That's a lie. That's a lie. Because what does he say in the last verse of chapter 31? Excuse me, of chapter 7. He says, thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God. On the other, my flesh, the law of sin. Number 7, God doesn't want us to remain in that state of the things I want to do, I can't do, the things I don't want to do, I do. Why? Because the sin that dwells within me, He wants to come and wash us clean. Again, I'm talking about as believers. As we move away from Him in our relationship, you know what? Audrey and I have been married, let's see, 76 this summer. Will be 43 years. 43 years. We got married. We've been married all that time. Married for life. I mean, she's got to deal with me as long as one of us is still alive on this earth. But you know, there are times we've been distant from one another. There's times I've stepped in it. There's times she stepped in it. At times when our relationship has been strained. There's been times when she's wanted to kill me. She doesn't believe in divorce, but I'm not so sure about murder. I mean, she's told me that a couple of times. I have respect for that truth in my life. But you know what? Are we still married? Till death do us part. Yes, we're still married. But our relationship is strained. Same with God. That's what Paul's talking about in chapter 7 of Romans. We have a strained relationship. Things I don't want to do, I do. And you guys have felt like that this week? You said something, as soon as it came out of your mouth, I shouldn't have said that to my wife. Or you missed the moment when you had that opportunity to say the greatest thing, do the greatest thing, and you stood there like, you know, with that dumb look on your face. And you missed the opportunity. Same way with God. But what does Paul say? In Romans chapter 8, he says, our story is delivered. He says, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. There's hope. I want to tell you today, this glory that is hidden in our hearts is a glory that God wants to be revealed. And we get to number 8. Our story revealed. Because you see, at last, eschatologically, when you look at last things, not only is that happening right now, that God wants to do this deliverance in our lives, He wants us to live in relationship with Him, but what is He planning for all of His people? Matthew chapter 24. Hear what it says in verse 29. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man shall appear in the sky. All the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory, and he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. So, at big picture now, as we started with man in the garden, now we're ending with Jesus coming back the second time. Not only does God want us to have this life, He wants to wake the dead now, and He wants us to be part of His plan of what's going on. But He's got great plans for us forever that we're going to spend with Him forever. So here's my conclusion. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. And this is from the New Living, I believe. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, now hear this. Hear this with your heart, with the ears of your heart. Mixing my metaphors there, no, but the ears of your heart. Whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The blinders are removed when you come to Jesus. For the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. The blinders come off. Neo in the Matrix, finally, the blinders come off and he can see the Matrix. He can see the enemy. And he no longer is running away from the stuff in his life. He's embracing the power. So all of us who have had the veil removed, that's all Christians, can see and reflect what? The glory of God. And the Lord, who is Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are being, and literally, our English has a problem with this, but the verb there is a continuous action. More and more, we're being changed into His glorious image. And here's the ticket. Here's the ticket. The glory hidden in your heart. You come to Jesus, the veil is lifted, and man, you remember when you got saved? You remember that time you came to Jesus, and suddenly you could see things, you could see your need of Him, and you cried out to Him in faith, you threw yourself at His mercy, you received Jesus in your life. But then what happened after that? The enemy came after you with a vengeance. He don't want you living like that. He wants you living in freedom. He don't want you to live that way. The world system was after you the same way because it's a fallen system. It's a system of not God. And so it has a bent that way to oppose anything that is of God. And then Paul talks about in chapter 7 in Romans, this idea with my flesh. I'm constantly dealing with my flesh all the time. The decision. See, all that then muddies the water. And what happens to that veil that was lifted from us? What happens to it? It starts to cloud again. God's desire is that we would be reflectors of His image. That initial passage in Genesis 1, He created us in His own image. That means you are the image bearer of God Himself. Because when you peel that back, for every person that has come to Jesus, what does the world see? They see that you are a reflector of God. Now, in that way, we're like luminaries. The sun is the originator of the light. The moon is a reflector of the light. It does not have light of its own. It becomes a reflector. That is what God has called us to be, is reflectors. Reflectors of His image, where the glory of God Himself is shining through us. And let me tell you, it is a glorious thing. It is a simplifying thing. You talk about the dead waking, coming back from the life, from the dead to come to life and to live out that kind of life. That's God's call for you. That's His purpose. Cinderella. All the other junk, all the other people lined up against her, but at last, in honesty, speaking forth, this is who I am. God, who created you in His own image, wants you to be who He called you to be. Nothing more, nothing less. That's His call on your life. It's not religion. It's not rules and regulations. It's a relationship with God Himself who has come to do that in your life. And let me tell you, when you're reflecting the image of God, people know that and they see that. Let me tell you, it is your destiny to be that. Just embrace who you are. I've had to embrace a few things in my life. And some of them are comical and some of them are very sad. I had to embrace at a very early age that I was not going to be a singer on the stage. And just a few short years before my mother died, on a trip out to see Megan out when she was on mission project, somewhere on I-10 in Alabama, my mother said to me, "And you know, son, you really can't sing." Now that's Beverly that said that. You can take that to the bank. But you know what else she told me? At a very, very early age, after I had received Christ in my life, she told me, "Son, I know God's call is on you. I know that. And me and your daddy, we just try." Sorry. "We're trying to do the best and to cooperate with Him for you because we know God is doing that in you." You know what? That's just not me. That's all of us. Do you believe that? Let's bow our heads. We'll open the altar. You want to come and pray? Today, you never received Jesus. Today is the day. He died on the cross, was resurrected on the third day for your sin. He will come in your life. If you want to be filled with the Spirit today, you want people to pray for you for the filling of the Holy Spirit, we will do that with you today. If you have a need, He wants to lay hands on you today and pray for your healing today. Let us embrace God's plan. And that, it's like, how did Irenaeus say it? God's glory revealed in man. Lord, we give you this time. We give you this time of ministry. May we today experience the true glory of God. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you.
it's all been said and done. There is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? When it's all been said and done, all my treasures will mean nothing, only what I've done for love's reward will stand the test of time. Mercy is so great that you look beyond our weakness and find purest gold in miry clay, making sinners into saints. I will always sing your praise here on earth and ever after. For you've shown me heaven's my true home when it's all been said and done. It's all been said and done. You're my life when life is gone. When it's all been said and done,
John, if you'd put that last slide up, this is what I want to leave you with today. One question. I'm talking about the story. I told you the story, I synopsized the story, the creation and the recreation, the story of redemption, the scarlet thread in the future today. Who will you allow to write your story? Will it be God or not God? Who will write your story? God has a beautiful redemption, glorious story that has your name on it, because your story is you. We'd like to get those cards today. If you have an offering to bring, bring that at this time. Basket up in the back and up front. Symbolically today, I'm going to offer this acorn for us, God's multiplication today. Many, many have not yet claimed the name. Now I want to send you out with joy, with the power of the Holy Spirit. Love. Well, those three at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, love, and what's the greatest? All right, so that's what I'm going to send you out in today, okay? I send you out in this love of the Father who sent His Son, Jesus, to show us what love was all about, who died on the cross, who then sent the Holy Spirit that we may be the practitioner of His love in the earth. We send you out in Jesus' name. Amen.